Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Welcome to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. It's the fourth weekend of a five-weekend month. And if you listen to us on a regular basis, this comes around four times a year when we have five weekends in a particular month. I think that's the way it figures out. And that simply means for us, as far as expenses are concerned, that we have to pay extra for a particular month when it's five weekends. So that means we need for you to help us do that. If you could, if you'll write us a letter and enclose a gift so we can stay on your radio station. That's how this radio program has been on the air for 87 years, through listener support. Thank you so much for doing that. Thank you for praying about it. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Again, let me give it to you. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. You can also go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through Venmo or PayPal. Well, I'm not working this weekend, taking a few days off. I'm going to be at our home church just to visit and to listen and to feed on the ministry of our pastor, but I'm going to be going to West Virginia next week, September 29 to October the 2nd. I'll be at Hurricane West Virginia in the Church of the Nazarene. And then October the 6th, I'm going to be in Kurtz, Indiana, just for Sunday only at the Church of the Nazarene. And then October 11 through 13, Orleans, Indiana, again at the Church of the Nazarene. And then October 20 to 23, I'll be traveling to Flemingsburg, Kentucky, to the Church of the Nazarene for revival services. So I do covet your prayers as I am involved in these speaking engagements and revival meetings. So thankful for God's faithfulness and for the opportunity to do this. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for our listening audience today. And I do pray for each person listening to my voice. I pray that the music, the message will be a blessing. Thank you so much for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for the way you provide, for the way you are there with us. I thank you so much for your goodness. I pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, every year I play my dad's sermon, The Heavenly Porter, at least once. So for the next two weekends, you're going to hear Dad's signature sermon, The Heavenly Porter, and I hope you enjoy it.
Oh. This morning I want to invite your attention to a passage that is found in the 13th chapter of Mark's Gospel. And I read out of this chapter beginning with verse 28. And you'll notice these words, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." I'm sure that as we look at this passage and lay special emphasis upon the statement found in verse 34, that the Lord has something that he would like to say to each of us in divine presence. This text says the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, gave authority unto his servants, and to every man his work, and he commanded the porter to watch. The parable within itself has to do with the signs pertaining to the coming of the Lord. We are exhorted relative to this truth that Jesus is coming, and it's tremendously important that we watch, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping, as another gospel writer has so aptly put it. But Mark says, "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." And this morning, when we look at this truth, I notice something here that seemed to be just a little strange. If you'll note carefully that verse 33 and there's verse 35 has a correlated truth, joins those two verses together in a measure, but the words of my text are inserted between those two verses. I think that verse 33 and verse 35 could have followed each other without doing any damage whatsoever to this truth, because both verses are exhorting us to be careful that we watch. But the words of the text seemingly is a truth that the Master wanted to insert in this parable when he says that the Son of Man is as a man. Now, each of us know that the Bible teaches that Jesus became the Son of Man, that you and I might become the sons of God. He was rich, but for our sakes he became poor. He made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, that we might become sons of God. But one day this man, Jesus, who is the Son of Man, took a far journey. We know that he left his house in the glory. He, beloved, left the bosom of God and came to the breast of a woman, from riches to poverty, from a son to a servant. He left the glories of heaven for the abuses of men. He left the crown and its glory for the cross and its curse. He left the songs of the angels and deathless atmosphere, condescended to come into this world by the way of a manger in Bethlehem of Judea over 1900 years ago. But while he was here on this earth, he walked the shores of Galilee. He called men to follow him. He made disciples out of those that left all to follow in his stateless steppings. And he gave authority unto those that he called, and they accepted the authority that he had given to them. But not only did he give authority unto his servants, but he made an emphatic fact that he gave also to every man his work. Not one person that knows the blessing of sins forgiven is excluded in the tremendous responsibility that is ours as we serve the Lord. But then, beloved, it seems that he carries us away from the servants and to every man his work. But then he says, and commanded the porter to watch. Everywhere in both the Old and the New Testaments, when the word porter is found, we find him designated as a watchman, one that's looking out for us, one that's seeking to help, one that wants to lend a listening hand. And in this regard, here we find that Jesus in this parable is speaking about the watchfulness of the porter. There are many parallels, there are many comparisons, there are many descriptive adjectives that are used throughout the bounds of Holy Writ to describe the Godhead, God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. If you'll study the Old Testament, when Jesus Christ, long before he was born, Isaiah said, "For unto us a son, child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." Other writers describe him as the Prince of Peace, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright in the Morning Star, the One Altogether Lovely, the Fairest of 10,000 to My Soul, the Way of Life, the Truth of Life, and, beloved, the Bread of Life. But when we come to the personality of the Holy Spirit, he likewise has been paralleled or likened to other things that are familiar to our thinking. If you'll notice carefully that in Matthew the 3rd chapter and verse 11, the Holy Spirit is likened unto fire. "For I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." One translator said, "He shall baptize you with the fires of the Holy Ghost." But in John the 3rd chapter, or the 4th chapter and the 7th chapter, the Holy Spirit is not likened unto fire, but he's likened unto water. For when he spoke to the fallen woman from Samaria at Jacob's well, he said, "Woman, give me to drink." She was startled and said, "Why dost thou, being a Jew, speak to me a Samaritan? And beside all this, the well is deep, and thou hast nothing to draw with." But Jesus said, "If any man drink this water that thou shalt give him, he shall thirst again. But if any man drink the water that I shall give him, he shall never thirst. And it shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." And she said, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." But in John's gospel, Jesus, standing up in the midst of them on that last great day of the feast, said, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink, and out of his inmost parts shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, for Jesus was not yet glorified." But in the 2nd chapter of Acts, the Holy Spirit is not likened unto fire, he's not likened unto water, but he's likened unto wind. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues or languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. But in the passage that I read in your hearing this morning, it appears that the Holy Spirit is not likened unto wind or unto fire or unto water, but he's likened unto a porter. For here the Master says, and he commanded the porter to watch. And I quoted the passage yesterday afternoon that one day Jesus Christ himself, standing with his disciples, said, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come. But when he is come, he'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And when he is come, he will guide you into all truth. And so you see, beloved, the blessed Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the administrator of the Godhead since the death of Jesus Christ at Calvary when he made his inception. And beloved, the dispensation of the Holy Spirit became a reality in the souls of men across the centuries of time. The blessed Holy Spirit has been doing his best to touch the hearts of men, to seek them out, and to show them the way, to let them know that there is a place of refuge, and a place of sustenance, and a hiding place, and a place of shelter. I do not believe that I saw this truth until some years ago, and this may seem what I'm about to say in this message or give to you in the remaining portion of the message may seem to be a parable to you. But beloved, they always told me that a parable was an earthly saying with a heavenly meaning. And I never saw this truth before until I was in a meeting in Castleberry, Alabama some years ago, and I had the friends of mine to take me to Evergreen, Alabama on Saturday. I was to close the meeting Sunday night, and I wanted to purchase my railroad ticket on Saturday afternoon. They took me to the station, and I made the arrangements. I had requested a lower berth on that fast train that came from New Orleans up to New York. I was bound for my hometown, Greensboro, North Carolina. Sunday night, the meeting closed. My friends took me back to Evergreen. It was pouring rain, and as we approached the station, and I said to the station master, will the train be on time? He said, as far as we know, it'll be in on time. And I've traveled over this country. I've seen porters from almost every walk of life. And I've seen porters in railroad stations, and at bus stations, at air terminals. And I've seen porters at taxi stands and hotels and motels. And every time I've ever seen a porter, he's there to lend you a helping hand and to help you out and to give you assistance. And this particular night, as that train came into view, the station master had said to me, sir, if you don't mind, when you see that train come into view, I'd appreciate it if you'd walk down between the tracks and get to the Pullman car area about time the train gets into the station. And I assured him of my cooperation, and when I saw it coming into view, I started down between those tracks, suitcase in my hand, an overcoat on my arm, had on a raincoat, and I was dodging water puddles and the filth that was between the tracks. And that train came to a standstill, and I didn't see the conductor, I didn't see the engineer, I didn't see the ticket master, and I didn't see but one person on that entire long train, and that was a little porter, and he stood there at the door, and when I walked up to the steps, and he let the steps down, and he didn't ask me my name, he didn't ask me where I'd been or where I was going. All he did was say, mister, would you like for me to carry a load for you? And I handed him my suitcase and my top coat, and something stirred within my soul. I said, that's exactly what the heavenly porter said to me the night I got on board and started for the glory world. Now I know that some sometimes there's some things in the religious world that are figures of speech. We talk about the glory-bound train. We talk about the old ship of Zion. It matters not to me this morning which one you prefer to use in comparison, but I thank God that the heavenly porter one day was looking for me, and he wanted to get me on board, and he told me that he'd carry my load. And I want you to know, friend, that same heavenly porter is standing, waiting, and watching, and he wants to carry your load. There's some of you this morning that are bogged down with excess baggage, and all you'd have to do, beloved, to enjoy the blessings of the overflow is just give the heavenly porter the load that you're carrying and let him carry it for you. And when I stepped on board that train, that porter said to me, he said, follow me. Well, bless your heart, it dawned on me then that the book says that when the Holy Spirit is come, he'll guide you into all truth. And the heavenly porter said, follow me. And I had no other course. And I followed that porter down to that train. And I knew that I'd made a reservation, but I didn't know where it was. But he knew where it was. And I followed him and came down to that Pullman car. He'd already made up that bed. And, beloved, he put my suitcase under the berth and pulled it up, my top coat, and laid it over to one side.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship, and if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fosteria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. I hope you'll tune in next week at this same time, and in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.